Good morning. Appreciate the opportunity to bring a short lesson. Talk to you briefly, first service this morning. I want to start by asking some questions. How often do we have a chance to talk about God or the Bible with people? How often do we take that chance? How much Bible knowledge do we have? How much do we know about the Bible? Maybe you might be thinking, well, those questions really don't have a lot to do with each other, but I think they do. Have you ever had trouble finding a conversation piece to talk about God with someone? It's not very seldom the first thing that someone talks about when you walk up and talk to them. I mean, you may talk about the weather, talk about things going on around us in our society, talk about the ball game. Have you ever been to the doctor? Doctor that you're pretty sure is an atheist? Often, I don't know, doctors you go to wear lab coats or have a little insignia or a pin there. Have you ever looked at their medical insignia? This is the perfect opportunity to open a conversation about God if they are wearing that. Here's why. You can use this as an icebreaker. The children of Israel were, when they were wandering in the wilderness, in Numbers chapter 21, we're told that they were afflicted by poisonous, it says, fiery snakes that they were sent among them, and many of them died from the bites of the snake. Moses was told to make something, and all the children of Israel had to do to be saved was to look upon this thing that Moses was told to make. Do you remember what that item was? What did Moses make? He was told to make a brass snake and put it on a pole. And all they had to do to be saved from these bites of these snakes was to look on it. God gave them the way. It seemed simple. And to any contemplative person to think, well, looking on something wouldn't save. That's all they had to do was look upon this pole that had the snake on it that Moses had made. So back to the doctors and their medical insignia. Have you ever looked at the medical insignia? Well, in the center of it is a pole with a snake. Actually, it has two snakes on it, and then at the top it has some wings. But what a perfect opportunity out of the blue to start up a biblical conversation with someone who may or may not consider themselves an atheist, but may actually be wearing an insignia on their clothes all day, every day, in the living they make, with something that you can tie back to a biblical reference. What a great icebreaker. But guess what? If we don't know that, we can't talk about it with them, can we? Biblical knowledge is very important. What about fishing? You ever talk to someone who just got back from a fishing trip? They're going on a fishing trip. That's a very, very often used conversation piece. I've probably told this before. I tell Amber and all my kids that I don't have any new stuff. You've heard all my jokes, so if you've heard this, apologize. You heard about the one-armed fisherman, didn't you? He caught a fish this long. There's often competition between fishermen. If you find yourself in one of those conversations and want to steer it towards the Bible, ask them. Say, did you hear about the people that fished all night? And this is a true story. It's not a joke. Fished all night. They were professional fishermen. Caught nothing. Not a fish. Early in the morning, it was getting close to light. Someone is walking on the shore, and they ask, have you caught anything? No, we haven't caught anything. You know what that person told them? We're fishing on the wrong side of the boat. That sounds like a fisherman's joke, doesn't it? It sounds like someone, a dad joke, doesn't it? They actually cast their nets on the other side of the boat, and they caught so many fish, their boat started sinking. It's a true story. It's not a made-up. It's not a joke. Who was that? Well, Peter, James, and John were in the boat. They were professional fishermen before the Lord called them and said he would make them fishers of men if they would follow him. And they knew and they recognized that it was Jesus then. Those are actual stories. And you just switch the conversation to talking about the Bible. If someone doesn't know that story, you may have piqued their interest. You may make them want to go look it up themselves. And that's the whole purpose, is we want people to get interested in and talk about the Bible. What about clothes? Does anyone ever talk about clothes in the day when you may run across? Ask them in the Bible, from the Bible, who had a coat of many colors? You just mentioned a biblical reference and talked about the Bible somewhat. We did this. I asked this question in the Bible class I was teaching a couple of weeks ago, and somebody said, Dolly Parton. Well, Dolly Parton had a coat of many colors in the song, but she wasn't from the Bible. I recently sold a lawnmower to a man that was affiliated with a grocery store chain in our area, several grocery stores, and he was expressing the problem he was having getting people to work. He said they typically hire 1,500 people to come do an inventory the first of the year. They'd only been able to hire 200. They were 1,300 people less than he needed. And the conversation was talking about how, well, people just don't work. How do we teach people to work? What a perfect opportunity there. And I did bring up the subject, well, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. We're told that in the Bible. 2 Thessalonians 3 and verse 10 tells us that. Amber recently was with a group of ladies who were discussing, well, our kids don't know how to work. How do kids, you can't teach kids how to work. And she said, yes, you can. How? How can you teach a kid how to work? He said, well, we did every night. When it was time to eat supper, before they got to eat supper, they had to pick up their toys. They had to clean up their room. And while they were doing that work, which was not big work, but to them it was big. It was a big task. We taught them this passage, if a man won't work, neither shall he eat. How many people in our society are not going hungry at all, actually probably gaining weight and getting fatter, that aren't working a lick? It shows what our society is in. And when someone brings up one of these conversations, if you can tie that to biblical knowledge, you have a perfect opportunity to talk about the Bible with them and teach them how our society is going away from God, or we wouldn't have a lot of these problems that we're having. And everyone who doesn't know about God, who doesn't know these things, bears part of the blame and part of the load. How often in our conversations, when the chance like this comes up, do we say, well, you know, I think that blah, 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 and you give your opinion? Then the other person says, well, I think this, and now you're in a debate. What did Jesus do? When he was tempted of Satan, he didn't say, well, I think. He said, it is written. And he gave a scriptural reason why he couldn't do what Satan wanted him to do. Do we strive to remember these things so we can be about our Father's business also? Do we have a ready remembrance and a good body of knowledge to draw from that we can say it is written? Or is our answer, I don't know. We all have the same opportunities. We all have the same words. And I hope that we don't have to use that answer that I don't know. I used to love looking through my dad's toolbox. My dad had a toolbox, opened up lots of drawers, and there were lots of things in there. I didn't know what that was for. I didn't know what that did. It was unusual looking. What would you ever use this for? But there comes a time, if you're working and you have a need for a tool, it was very gratifying to me to be able to go to my dad's old toolbox, open those drawers, and pull out that tool and say, this is what this is for. This is the application that I have been waiting to use this. This fits here. This grabs that. You use the tool like this, and your problem is fixed. That's what we need to be doing with the Scriptures, is learning more and more so we have a fully packed toolbox full of tools that are just waiting for that application to come along. Because we probably won't get the same opportunity with the same person again. And that's a lost opportunity. You ever talk to someone at work or in the daily at school maybe who's talking about their exercise regimen, their workout program, and, oh, yeah, I'm sore, I did too many butterflies, just talking about that. You ever quote 1 Timothy 4, verses 7 and 8? This is one of my favorite ones. 1 Timothy 4, 7 and 8. I've got to read it here. 1 Timothy 4, chapter 7. 1 Timothy 4, verse 7 says, but refuse profane and old wives' fables, and exercise thyself rather unto godliness. For bodily exercise profiteth little, but godliness is profitable unto all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. Now, I admit I may be abusing that scripture a little bit when I talk about the lack of my exercise regimen. But there again, they open the door, stick your foot in it, and take advantage of that opportunity. Mary and Martha sat at Jesus' feet repeatedly, listened to his teaching. But after he'd been crucified and they went to the tomb with spices, and they found his body was gone. And the two angels standing by asked them, who do you look for? He is not here. And they quoted Jesus' words in Luke 24, verses 3 through 8. And told them, reminded them about how he had said he would raise on the third day. And it says, talking about Mary and Martha, and they remembered. Sometimes it just takes being reminded. You may be talking to someone who has that body of knowledge but hasn't used it. They may have that tool in their toolbox, but it's drawing dust from non-use, from not being used. And your conversation may be the perfect thing to spark interest in the truth by reminding them and properly using a scripture in the daily part of life. And they may be able to say, I remember that. Oh, yeah, I haven't thought about that in years. I'm not a professional mechanic. And if I'm ever out on one of our John Deere machines with a mechanic working on it, and I get to use one of the tools from my toolbox, boy, I kind of gig that mechanic, say, hey, we're using one of my tools. You're the professional here, but I've got this tool, and you're using my tool. I had that opportunity. If anyone ever mess with wheel bearings, a messy business, aren't they? There's grease everywhere. You have to get the grease off of everything before you can see what to do about it. Getting the dust cap off of that hub is a challenge. Well, you need something with a wedge. You often have to take the tire totally off to get it. You can get a chisel and pop that in and twist it and pop the dust cap off. I found a tool that works perfectly for that, and you don't have to take the tire off. A little pry bar with a little heel on the end. I think it's called a heel bar. But if you get one that has a sharp beveled edge, you can put it in there inside the bend of the hub, not have to take the tire off, tap it and twist it and pop that dust cap off and still have your tire on there. I showed a man that the other day, and he says, I want one of those. And he went and bought a heel bar. We ought to think about our biblical scriptural knowledge as tools that fit in places perfectly in life, because they do. That's why we're given them, is to help us through life. If we don't fill our toolboxes and know what we filled it with, we won't be familiar enough with God's Word to be able to grab that at that moment's notice and apply the tools our Father has given us. It's very gratifying to use one of my dad's old tools for a job, something that's causing me trouble, causing those around me a problem, and be able to fix it with that tool. It's very gratifying. But how much more gratifying is it when we use our Father's tools He has left us and apply them in problems in our life and people's lives around us and show them a way that this tool will fix your problem and help it go away. Just like the man from the grocery store who was needing those workers to do inventory, we need to do inventory of our own biblical knowledge. We did this in our Bible class a couple of Sundays. We finished our book early, and we tested our biblical knowledge. And I told the students in the class, I told the people in there, don't put your name on them. I don't want to know. I want you to know whether you know the answers to these questions or not. And I want you to test yourself and see what opportunities you see to grow our biblical and our scriptural knowledge. And we did that, and we enjoyed it. It was a couple of fantastic classes. We had a lot of great discussions. I have made a list of those questions. It's front and back deal. If you are interested and want to test your own knowledge on the questions that I posed to the middle school class, they're in the back rack to the left of the door, the bottom shelf there in the front. If you have time, test, read the questions. They're just questions I grabbed off the top of my mind when we did these the last couple of weeks. And I was kind of surprised at some things we knew and some things we didn't know. So if you're interested and want to look at these, I invite you to grab one of those, because there will be a test. It's not my test. There will be a test. We're all given. So if you have the opportunity and wish to do so, grab one of those, and let's take inventory of our spiritual knowledge, scriptural knowledge.